I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Junk Time Effort Podcast, around 23, 2023. We're coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios and Rod Carter Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain. Joining me is a man who believes people should lay off Luke Beveridge. It is Adam Rosenbarks.
G'day, Michael. G'day, Junk Times, as we join you at the conclusion of round 23. One more round to go, and they are coming for friend of the show, Luke Beveridge. Don't want to hear a word of it. Like, they lost. They lost to the West Coast Eagles on the weekend. But can I just say that if you are going to get a rampaging West Coast Eagles at Marvel on a Sunday afternoon, I mean, that is probably the hardest assignment in football after the Eagles have come off a 100-point drubbing in the Derby / Derby. I mean, what do you expect's going to happen? You know, you've got to cut Bevo some slack.
We've been saying for a long time that Marvel, for the Eagles, has long been a fortress.
Oh, it's impenetrable.
And memorable win after memorable. So many memorable wins that I cannot remember one memorable win at Marvel because there are so many.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, they pushed Essendon a few weeks ago. It was coming. Like, Carlton, sure, we led by 85 points at halftime when we played them. But we didn't win by 85. We only won by 68 or so, Michael. West Coast, if there was another six or seven quarters in their match, they would have run over Carlton. Don't over. Just people I know. You know, there was a Collingwood supporter during the week that said he thinks that Adam Simpson is gone. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't be more wrong if you tried. Why would you get rid of a guy who can come over and win his third match for this, three matches in a year, Michael? Yep. What more do the Eagles want from this guy?
Sign him up again for another 5 years, I reckon.
People were saying that they would be surprised if the Eagles won a match this year, and then they go and win three. I mean,
hello naysayers out there. Hello.
Exactly. They should be embarrassed, and I just think they need to cut Bevo some slack. His team just copped. I mean, some of those players that were playing for West Coast, I'd never even heard of them and how he got them. How's Bevo supposed to match up on some guy he's never fucking heard of?
Well, that's the thing. Like, there were so many waffle under-19 players from, you know, Swannies and Claremont playing in that game. Absolutely. Bevo had no idea about the research behind them. Like, you know, why would you bother filming those games? Because there's no fucking point to film them. So Bevo can't watch any tape. Like, it's incredible.
How was Bevo supposed to know that Jeremy McGovern would last a whole game? He would have said to his his fellow coaches, his assistants, would have said, look, I know McGovern's out there. Mm-hmm. He's really good intercept marker. We probably won't have to worry about him after about 8 minutes in the first when his hamstring pings.
Yep, sure. He'll back into a pack, get his ribs done. We'll be out.
Yeah.
There was actually some fun footage of Footscray fans giving the team a bake as they walked off the ground at the end of the game. And now they're going to have maybe some egg on their face when they find out they can actually make the finals next week.
You know what we haven't seen a lot of this year, though? I haven't seen any... apart from the Carlton scenes earlier in the year where they were, you know, screaming in the race and stuff, I haven't seen a good jumper burning for a while. And do you think that is due to the... Has the cost of inflation finally hit that people go, I can't afford to just set fire to jumpers willy-nilly these days?
That's actually one effect of the war in Ukraine that people don't talk about.
Yeah.
And that they talk about it being the food belt of Europe, and they talk about transportation being hindered by the fact there are blockades and the like. But people don't talk about it. Vladimir Putin doesn't talk enough about how the cost of jumpers is now so great that
astronomical.
You can't just burn one on the concourse at Marvel Stadium at the front of the merch shop where you can buy Marvel toys just by the fact that your team had a heartbreaking loss in round 12 of 2023. That's the cost that the people of Russia and Ukraine don't talk about.
Well, that, I mean, that's why we want this war to end as soon as we can, so we can get back to the days of being
the
able
good old
to,
days.
You know, you have six or seven jumpers at home, you go, which one am I going to burn today?
Yep. Now, we'll get to it shortly, but the ace is pretty much set now, not the order, but there's only one more team that can make it. But we need to talk about a very special event coming up in about two weeks' time, Adam. It's our Junk Time live show, September live show.
It's finally, we've got a locked off lineup. It's fantastic. What an afternoon we're going to have. We have Razor Ray Chamberlain, and I've already, you know how when you just have a guest, sometimes you're like, oh, I'll do some research on that in a couple of weeks, probably, you know, a bit closer to the show. But Razor Ray, I have a lot of questions.
Detailed knowledge.
Already. Yeah, I have a lot of questions already formulated that I'm going to be asking him. So that's going to be one to certainly come down and have a look at. We've got Campbell Brown, who obviously Hawthorn Premiership player, was there for the start of the Gold Coast Sun. So he is going to be fantastic. And confirmed today, we have Richmond superstar and legend Matthew Richardson is going to be joining us in the afternoon. And of course, comedian extraordinaire Tommy Little. What a fucking lineup.
That is a fucking lineup. Richo, richo man, I want to be a richo man.
Please sing that to him.
That's a Rex Hunt classic, I think.
Yes. So it's going to be an unbelievable afternoon. So Junk Timers, we've put in the hard yards. Now we need you to do the same. Come along. Tickets are available at trybooking.com. It's 4 o'clock on the bye week Sunday, September 3 at Morris House, formerly the European Beer Cafe, now Morris House. It's going to be a fucking great afternoon.
Do yourself a favour. Yeah, Junk Timers. Hey, Adam. For the first time in the history of this podcast, from 2014 to now, my team won two premierships, but from 2014 to now, we can officially say that the Baggers are in the finals. That is amazing.
How fucking great is that?
And we can officially say the Baggers will be kicked out of the finals in the first week.
So, just got a few questions regarding it. So, when with the finals, do I just turn up? Like, do I just go in and say, "Hey, I'm a Carlton supporter"? Like, how does it work?
Well, there's still ticket
games.
Do I need
like a ticket?
Yeah, okay, you do need a ticket. Yeah. So, I find.
And if we lose that first one, do we get to go and play again the following week? How's that work?
Look, no, often tradition states that if you lose that first one in the bottom half of the eight, that you do need to go, you know, have your bad Monday and then kind of game over.
Okay.
But I find in the finals with the members, like what I do is I rock up in a mask and a cape and I use the password, code word Fidelio, and then we go and we have an orgy. That's what happened. That's an Eyes Wide Shut reference. The movie, Eyes Wide Shut.
Yeah, no, that'll really resonate with all the Junk Time listeners out there. And that's why you can. That's why you're buying the tickets to our live show, for those little Easter eggs.
The
three people who get that go, "Ah, oh, Chamber, he's very good."
Oh, yeah, that little independent film made by Stanley Kubrick with Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman. Yeah, you know, those no ones. But I'm very excited for you, man. So let me think, where did you play on the weekend? I can actually remember where. Oh, you were in Gold Coast, weren't you?
Yes, play the Gold Coast. We gave up the first six goals, and you just kind of went, "Oh, great, this is turning into last year," and my PTSD was coming back with red hot anger.
Mm-hmm. And then I only watched about the last 10 minutes or so, but it got very, very tight, back and forth. Yes. And then was it Charlie Kerno took a big mark in the goal square?
Yep, Charlie Kerno, mate, did it all. Kicked four goals in the second quarter to get us back in it. Took the last mark of the game to kind of ice it for us. Noah Anderson had a great shot at goal from about 47 on the run, and you just thought, yeah, that's going to go through for a goal. Yep. It did not. We won it. We confirmed our finals aspirations. So they were franked, as they like to say. But it has kind of thrown a spanner in the works for next weekend's round, because the AFL had built it all around, basically, whether Carlton would make it or not. And so our last game next week is Sunday night at 6:10 at Marvel,
which is the absolute
fucking worst slot in the world.
That's actually very anticlimactic now, isn't it? Yeah, the AFL.
It really is.
Yeah, the AFL got involved with the bookies, and they, you know, planned out the final round. That's actually quite curious. So, do you care if you lose that one, or do you kind of just go? Because I think if you're in the bottom half of the eight, doesn't matter really where you might be playing Sydney, possibly.
That would be the only thing that would change, but Sydney have to beat Melbourne. So there's not a lot of movement. Hey, okay, so we'll need to talk about the umpire that completely fucked up the Sydney v Adelaide game.
Dude.
Has had an absolute fucking nightmare. And smart of the Swans players. One, so when the ball was kicked by Ben Keys, I think it was Callum Mills hit the post at the same time as the ball was going through.
Oh, okay. I didn't get that.
But how confident are you as an umpire with 50,000 Crows fans losing their fucking nut to go, oh, yeah, absolutely, I heard it hit the post. Yeah. I am 100% confident with a minute 40 to go in a game that is now a one-point ball game. I am confident that I am so good at my job that that absolutely hit the post when it did not.
He was actually remarkably brave, that guy, and I believe he has been demoted for the next 3 years.
I believe he's been demoted from life if he's still in Adelaide.
Well, I only saw the initial angle from the front. Yep. So when you look at that footage, you kind of go, oh, yeah, maybe it did hit a padding, right?
Absolutely.
And then only when you show the footage from behind when you go, oh, no, it landed in the first row. But that guy has some fucking balls, man. Like, from now on, like, I mean, I'd love to watch him play poker or something like that and just go, what's he got? And he's just, like, staring in the eye going, I got nothing. And then he throws down nothing. It's like quite remarkable. And I mean, I actually went to the game yesterday, Hawthorn Melbourne, and I heard people behind me, Melbourne supporters, who were really fucking annoying. Actually, they were really fucking annoying Melbourne supporters. They kept on talking about the great deal they got on their BMW and their negative gearing. But they were generally debating like, could Adelaide sue the AFL to get that game back.
I mean, the thing is, though, you kind of can't. I can understand that argument, but if it was like the final kick, then maybe you would have an argument for it.
Yeah.
But because there was still a minute 40 to play, there's nothing to say that the Swans couldn't have gone down and kicked the follow-up goal. But that if Sydney lost, then Adelaide was still alive. Then that makes the last weekend even more exciting than it's going to be. But now it's basically the Western Bulldogs need to beat Geelong down in Geelong for any chance of making the eight. And GWS has to beat Carlton. So that's kind of the big one for them. It's an elimination final for GWS. If the Doggies lose to Geelong, then GWS are like, well, we're playing finals. We can't really do a lot.
Yeah, sure. So do you reckon there'll be anyone dropping, you know, five or six players next weekend if they kind of realise that the machinations work out and we can... I mean, I know the bye is a bit different now. But if they go, they got a niggle, let's just not risk it at all.
Great selection question without notice. Probably, you know what you could do, though? If you were bringing players back from injury, like, say, Carlton bringing back Sam Walsh and Adam Chera, you'd probably play them for a half and then just go, you know what? We'll just rest them.
Yeah, sure.
Put them on the bench. Just, you know, keep our rotations up a little bit, you know, just... So you can kind of maybe use it as a little bit of a practice match if you don't really need to do anything. But the fact that Carlton can slip to... seventh, Sydney would have to smash Melbourne. It's not going to happen. Carlton playing a home final, I reckon.
Yeah, gotcha.
So it's fucking going to be party time. just back to the AFL, putting us on the Sunday night, like just have all the games at the one time on the Saturday or the Sunday so no team can, you know, manipulate anything. And 6:10 on a Sunday, I mean, for fuck's sake.
I generally don't think I've ever heard of a game being played at that time.
No, I can't remember. Have they had like 7:10 games on a Sunday? Like,
maybe have they dabbled with Sunday night football? Like in Melbourne? Like, am I not?
I went to Monday night footy at Marvel, and that, I remember going to Carlton St Kilda on a Monday night, and that was shitful. Like, you have to wait all weekend. You miss everything. They tried to, you know, because Monday night football is an institution in America. But over here, fucking hell, it was a long weekend. It was you lost. You're like, this is shit. I'm still heading home at 10:30 on a Monday. This is good.
My theory about Thursday night football and Monday night football is like, I like it as long as I don't have to go to it.
I see Thursday night I would go because it's a little bit earlier, like 7:10 at the MCG. But I love it on telly. It's fantastic midwinter when you don't want to leave the house.
Yeah, for sure. So you'll definitely be going to that final?
Yes, I would like to think so. I imagine you just go through the MCC, but when you were a Hawthorn member, do you get...
I am a Hawthorn member, okay, mate? Don't cast any fucking aspersions about that, mate. I am a Hawthorn member, long-time Hawthorn member.
A high one?
Interstate. It's a donation.
Exactly. No, because I have like a reserve seat membership, so I imagine that I will get first dibs on buying a seat,
okay.
I would think.
Yeah, sure.
But, you know, me, Chamber, I'm not sitting in the outer. I'm sure I'll be behind glass somewhere.
Mate, you'll be in the fucking Fox Footy box again, surely.
Hopefully, or maybe at an AFL function. I'll be somewhere.
Yep, gotcha. And, it's like that traditional shot on round one. The Richmond Carlton game, where it's like you and Andy Maher and Mick Molloy and Sam Pang, and just that beautiful shot 5 minutes into the second quarter, and you guys looking so sad.
Is that what you're genuinely hoping for? A Carlton loss?
We need Rosie Cam, okay? Fuck Bongo Cam and Oblivious Cam. We need Rosie Cam at halftime just to kind of see how your mood is.
As I'm being escorted out by security.
No, Carlton up is good for football, but Carlton too far up is bad for me. But are you confident? Like, do you believe in never?
I think it's one of those things. On our day, the way we're playing, we have shown that we can beat anyone. Mm-hmm. So if we're on a roll and really flying, then yes, I do believe that it's possible. Do I think that we will win or even make a grand final? No, I don't. I don't think we'll get that far. But I'd love, fuck, it'd be nice to win a final. That would, you know, considering we were bottom four in round 15 or so.
And they were about to fucking sack the coach. Like all that talk too.
Now we've done. It's been a pretty big turnaround.
Yeah, for sure.
And also St Kilda, you've got to say, you know, they ripped the band-aid off with Brett Ratten last year. They got in Ross the Boss, and everyone was sort of saying, you know, the last couple of weeks haven't been playing great. They're locked into the finals. They got the coach and got him to do what they wanted to do, and they're playing off in the finals. So they've done. That's a pretty good effort.
I think they're actually pretty good stories this year for anyone who might win it. Like, I mean, obviously Brisbane on Friday night. Tat up the Pies. I mean, the Pies are looking wobbly now, and I don't think that's any kind of their fault as such. Just they've had a few outs and the like, and I'm sure they'll probably find form in the finals. But it's actually pretty tricky to pick a definite premiership team at the minute.
Who's the best team in the eight right now?
Well, I think if you probably go by, well, at least Friday night, like the Bears, I reckon.
Yeah, you think so? See, I would have said Melbourne. Even though Carlton beat them last week, I think Melbourne on their day are better than all those teams.
Yeah, sure. Like, I mean, I went to Hawthorn yesterday, and Melbourne, we were competitive about three-quarter time, then they kicked away. And they were impressive, but not ungettable, I thought.
Yep. I mean, GWS, the way they've been playing the last 2 months has been phenomenal.
Yep.
So, you know what? There's always those sides where you're like, oh, God, I hope we don't run into them in finals.
Yeah,
and
sure.
I think Carlton could be one of those sides where you're just like, unfortunately, the two sort of informed teams, Carlton and GWS, will most likely play off. And so one of them will knock, you know, the other out.
Just looking at now, like, I reckon there is not one team in the eight that I wouldn't like to see win the flag. Just by the fact of the way they play and also, like, their back history and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
You'd be happy with the Collingwood premiership, would you?
Well, I mean, we've talked about it before, like, by the fact that they do play, like, a great brand of football and they seem,
people. I do enjoy watching them play.
And I also, actually...
Last day in September, they don't have to win it.
But I also feel like I, you know, there's a long-struggling, I don't know if you know him, but a long-struggling Collingwood supporter called Eddie that I've become familiar with over the last little while. And and I just like to see, you know, the Pies get up for him, just like
okay.
So, yeah. But I mean, he'll keep it under his he'll keep it under his hat. Like he won't talk about it much.
Now you went back to your old footy team. Was it like were you back there to give a talk? Was it International Chambo Day? What was going on?
No, it's actually funny. I went back to my old amateur club, St Mary's. They're now St Mary's Salesians. They merged probably about 10 years ago, I reckon.
Merger. And,
yeah. So they
is that big news in that comp?
Oh mate, it was like there was a parade. There was the meeting with the members at the town hall, and people were yelling and screaming.
Did you do a Save Our Skins campaign? Yeah, all that kind of shit?
Yeah, Don Scott got up and ripped the mascot off a jumper. But no,
St Mary's what? What were they known as?
The Saints.
Are you the Saints? Yeah.
So it's like when the Saints is a song.
Yeah.
But I just went down there by the fact I'm in Melbourne, and I hadn't been there for a while, and the fixture hadn't worked out, so I got down to the home ground at Ferndale Park in Glen Iris, and
the ghettos of Glen Iris. Excuse me, Fucking hell, did you have bodyguards down there? What was going on? I bet you no one parks their cars around the ground there because you don't want a Sharon bashing into your Bentley.
No, but they've got a driver to protect the car from the ball.
Okay, yeah, he's got to fist it away.
But I went down there and it was actually really, really fun. I really, really liked it a lot and I hadn't been there.
Did you have a gourmet sausage at halftime?
No, but like there was like, you know that kind of footy club thing where there's always a few stalwarts? Like,
yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Like there were a couple of blokes there who had been around there forever and, you know, I had a good chat with them. And but the thing I found really fascinating is by the fact that hearing the players talk. And so there was a lot of calls for, like, you know, when a ball was on a wing or something, like calls of like structure, structure, structure.
Really?
And then a lot of talk when there was a stoppage and how to kill the ball or, yep. you know, repeat stoppage, like when they were just trying to kind of, you know, shut the ball down and yep. hearing a language. And then also at 3/4 time, I went out to hear the coach talk and the team divided into their lines. So
did
there
they
was
really?
The backs and the middles and the forwards, and I was like, "What the fuck is going on here?"
And yeah, then the coach, and how are the Saints playing? Are they
got out to about an 8-goal lead in the first quarter, so they were kind of defending that for most of the day, and then yep. They won probably about by, you know, 40-50 points by the end of it.
And are they playing finals?
No, they're in the bottom three. I think they're bottom. They were second last, and they were playing third last.
Relegation in those comps?
Maybe for last. I don't think for the last two, but I could be making that up. Yep. But they're not like in a high division. I think they're D2, if I remember correctly. Yeah, but I think back when I played, they were D4.
So you were holding them back.
Well, obviously back in the day. I mean, not quite. I mean, obviously, we all are familiar with 1999 when I won Best First Year Player.
Yeah,
I did go into the rooms and look for the honour board to just see a little Mickey Chamberlain's name on the board there, just kind of, you know, have a little glance and, you know, taking the aura, the glow, the gold
lettering. There's no froffies down at the Ammos, is there?
They are pretty much immediately after the game.
Oh, so just no beers sold during the match?
Yeah. I think they are the rules, yeah.
Man, how are you supposed to abuse people when you're sober? It's just not as much fun.
Oh, well, that's the thing, actually. In talking to one of the stalwarts, and he was telling me a bunch of years ago, he decided to be an umpire for a year. And it was like, worst decision I've ever made ever. It was like the abuse you would cop from your own team and then your own supporters. And he's like, round two, he was like, what the fuck have I done? This is stupid.
Can you imagine going back to that Adelaide-Sydney game in the weekend, that goal umpire, and it was only like 2 minutes that he was down there, but can you imagine the abuse that would have been coming over the fence? Like he's, you know, 4 metres from it.
Yeah.
Like he hears it.
But I think about him going to work on Monday. Like I imagine he has a job somewhere. Like just show up to work at, you know, the KFC where he's the manager or something. And these 15-year-olds are going, you didn't fucking see that, did you, mate? You didn't fucking see it?
Yeah.
But I feel like, actually, it's a good question, though, by the fact that people have been talking about the ARC and that the ARC could maybe have stepped in. Or the Black Ops, even.
Yeah.
But...
Oh, you know what will come, though? I reckon there'll be, like, a challenge system that you're allowed to challenge one from a captain or something.
I would actually think that's actually a very good idea from you, and I don't say that very often.
Yeah.
The fact that, you can put up your hand, because I do know, if I remember correctly, for a goal, the ARC then checks that goal.
Yeah, that's right, because they've got the time when it goes back to the centre, so they do have time to look at everything. But, you know, this one, and also Sydney, very smartly, played on straight away.
Yep.
And just went, oh, fucking hell, that was a goal. Let's kick this in as quickly as we possibly can.
Because I have been at a game, maybe more than one, where they've called the ball back after it being declared a goal, and then the ARC looked at it and said, no, it's actually a point. Yeah. So they can actually do that. But also the technology too. Like you look at the NFL and they've got, you know, 1 million frames per second.
And while
we just have like a blurry VHS copy.
It's like we're on fucking dial-up.
Yeah, it's, you know, I mean, it's a bit different by the fact, you know, the VAR and the NFL, like they're rectangles. So they're straight lines, aren't they?
I guess. But also, they just seem to put more into the technology, like the microchipped ball and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Hey, Dimmer, going to the Suns, mate.
6 years. We thought it was going to be 5. He's come out of the blocks and gone, nah, I want to be there for the journey. I want 6 years.
It's a very long contract, isn't it?
I guess they just go, oh, we want stability. And he probably just thought, oh, fuck, if you're going to give me five, give me six.
Yeah, sure, sure.
You know, I'm going to win your flag, so you're going to want me around. And also a little bit more stability and money for him.
Well, I figure if you kind of sign a longer deal, even if they knife you after three, you go, well, I get a three-year payout, don't I?
Well, no, it doesn't work like that because some of them don't have to pay you your full contract, which means it's not a very good contract. But I imagine with Dimmer, he wouldn't have that clause.
I'm going to imagine, yeah. If Dimmer signs the paper, they go like, yeah, you give me all my money, mate. Yeah.
Yeah.
And or I'm taking you to the shooting range at Gold Coast Shooting Center. I'm going to make you pay. It's actually very exciting. And I like the idea that, I'm not going to say he's like the first proper coach that they've had there by the fact that, you know, they had Rocket and all the like, but like the first coach with like true credentials under his belt.
True current credentials as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
So he's coming from a good place. Do you think he'll do that? He'll go with the holistic thing of like they did at Richmond, you know, tell us about your heroes and it's about having fun rather than because Richmond kind of got the, I know they won the flag when they started doing that, but they were winning when they were doing that and having fun. It wasn't as much fun before that.
No, for sure, though. But you remember the Goldie. And Dimmers on
true.
The old medicinal marijuana, mate.
Yeah,
and
true.
And so Dimmers is walking around the streets of South Bank going a little bit of, put a little bit on the tongue. Just be like, oh, oh, look at that shark. It could be a whale, man. Hey, football isn't real life.
Hit me.
We got a bumper trove this week because I went through our Instagram messages, which I haven't done for a while. And so we do quite a bunch, but they're all bangers. From Jeremy, I've got an old football in real life. In 2012 or 2013, I was walking to South Yarra Station after school with some mates when we saw Travis Cloke on Claremont Street. From memory, he was drinking a coffee and looked like he was shopping. One of my friends tried and succeeded in convincing another of my mates that Trav had gone to our school, Melbourne High, back in the day.
Is that, would that be correct? I thought he was like a kind of Temple Stowey sort of way, the Cloaks.
I think the story that the mate was pulling his leg.
Ah, right.
Yeah, sure. You know, and then he told a story that maybe Trav's dad's house got shut up one day, but did happen. From Pat, with the lack of footballers in real life from last week, this dates it, I thought I'd offer this encounter from a couple of years ago. At the time, I was looking for a bit of exercise without the biff, and so took up Pilates in the North Fitzroy area. I live in a share house, not doing that well for myself.
Fitzroy North, though, still a good area.
Yeah, buck up, Pat, I believe in you. During our class warm-up, I noticed one participant in front stacking their dumbbells in an especially exacting manner. Looking up, I saw Will Minson of Western Bulldogs fame performing a perfect plank into fire hydrant. Do you know those moves? Are you your Pilates?
I'm across the plank, but I don't know the fire hydrant. That is interesting.
Although Pilates is not a competitive sport, I thought I would acknowledge Will's career by offering a deeply offensive and personal sledge, but in the end decided it might not be well received. I haven't been back since, but I hope he's doing well.
Fucking get him off, Will!
Yeah, fuck, man. That beautiful tape that fucking never ages. From James, on Saturday night, my partner and I went to the Lord Newry in Brunswick Street for a feed. Now, I believe Lord Newry might be owned by one Ross the Boss.
Ross the Boss and I think Sauce, the other boss.
Yeah, okay, gotcha. Mm. So as we pondered whether we should get a sticky date pudding, I couldn't help notice a largish but undersized for his position man hobble in with a couple of friends, siblings, actually we're getting, here we go, siblings, and take the table next to us. It was Jack Silvani. There we go. Getting a little discount, maybe a freebie even. Mm.
Yeah.
Coming off his career best game against Port. He went to the bar, he got a jug of beer to share with his three mates. Pretty sure the beer of choice was Carlton Draft, but could have been Bolter XPA. Soon after coming in, he was...
It's the lack of confidence you said that with. A Bolter XPA, mate.
But here we go. Plot thickens. Soon after coming in, he was joined by Stephen and Joe Silvani.
Here we go.
Who were also with some of their friends. So I bought the drinks for his... I'll tell you what, mate. I bought the drinks for his friends. Looks like they were just down at the local for a drink and hear how everyone's week was. It was a wholesome scene. My takeaway from this is good to see that Sauce didn't have to wait in the car for this family event, unlike with Jack's 100th. Never turned down a sticky date pudding. Yeah, gotcha.
I love it.
Okay.
I love it. I have seen a few of the Carlton boys down at that pub a little bit.
Yep, sure.
Yeah.
From Beck Dahl, friend of the show, Beck Dahl. I have a former football coach in real life for you. Last night I was at Rod Laver Arena for the Boomers versus South Sudan World Cup lead-up game. I went to the bar to get a drink at halftime, and in front of me was none other than former Collingwood coach Nathan Buckley. Bucks had been sent to the bar by a group of friends to get drinks them. Absolutely. I'm thinking if you're going out with Bucks, you go, do I pay for the drinks or do I get the multi-millionaire to buy those drinks? To get the drinks for them, all which seemed slightly unfair, he spent his time waiting, looking at his phone with his reading glasses on. He ordered an assortment of drinks, a can of Smirnoff Ice, a Canadian Club, a dry can.
Canadian Club and dry.
a glass of red and a Jim Beam can. A lot of sophisticated choices in that group there.
Yeah.
He confirmed...
It's a very footballer kind of order, isn't it?
Yeah, no Bundy though. I confirmed during the third quarter that he was personally drinking the Jim Beam can. Which surprised me, as I had him pegged as the red wine guy. I actually genuinely would have thought he would have been the wine guy, yeah.
Yeah, well, didn't he have the blend of wine? Didn't he bring out the Nathan Buckley blend
a while ago? That's a Nathan Buckley wine question without notice.
Sorry.
He was casually dressed and appeared to be with his girlfriend and two other mates. And Beck also saw Darcy Moore, Jamie Elliott and Simon Black in the Virgin Lounge on Saturday morning.
That's quite the stack of footballers in real life.
What a combination. Simon Black. Is he at Collingwood at all or...?
No, I'm pretty sure he still lives in Brisbane.
I don't know
if he has anything to do with the Bears, but he's definitely up in Brisbane.
Yeah, gotcha. From Adrian, I was at Lamaro's in South Melbourne on Wednesday to watch the Matildas game. Behind where I was sitting, there was a table of about eight people, and shortly before the match started, there was the Duck, Wayne Carey, joining the table. He looked pretty happy, except for his left arm being in a sling. He must have had some kind of shoulder surgery pretty recently. I have to say his companions all looked at least 10 or 15 years younger than him.
Nothing wrong with that.
I have a manager in real life. So at the game yesterday against Melbourne, I stood next to Paul Connors for about a quarter.
Oh, okay. Now, you kind of have an association with him. You know him, don't you?
I don't quite know him, but like my brother played with him back in the day and I was at the same club. So he'd know my brother more. He'd remember him more than me, yeah.
Did you talk to him?
No. I was just...
Oh, Michael Chamberlain.
No, but I generally think part of actually him at a game would actually be work. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, totally. But you still could have gone, hey, my brother played footy with you. Can you get us Damien Hardwick on our podcast, please?
Well, that's a good point. Actually, yeah, I should have. Yeah. I didn't want to do that. I actually did think about that. Yeah.
Oh, did you? And you chose not to do it?
Well, I just thought it's a bit weird to kind of, you know, just rock up to a bloke and be like, g'day, mate. You manage Dimmer. Can you come on our podcast? Oh, by the way, I'm a complete stranger. And
you're not a complete stranger. You play footy with your brother. Mate, we had it in. Sorry, junk timers.
And... Half confirmed footballer in real life.
Half.
From this morning. Walking along the street, and I think I saw Matt Spanger.
Okay. Was it the Jesus type locks? Has he still got those? Is that what tipped you
off? He did have the Jesus type locks. So he's at the Dogs now as a coach, I believe.
Yep.
And pushing a child in a pram. Mm-hmm. Right height, right hair. And I actually, when I went to do my glance, I went for the nose because he's got a quite distinctive nose.
Yep.
And I couldn't quite confirm. So I'm gonna go with I'm 80% sure that was Matt Spanger.
We need confirmation.
Although I should have called out. Should have gone, Spanger!
Spanger! Yeah, exactly.
And then he would have turned around and be like, hey, Chambate, how are you, mate? Don't forget our live show, folks. Matthew Richardson, Razor Ray Chamberlain, Campbell Brown and Tommy Little at the Morris House on Sunday, September 3. 4 p.m. Tickets can be found at trybooking.com. You can't get a fucking better lineup than that. Richo, Razor Ray, Campbell Brown, Tommy Little. Fucking hell.
Yeah, it's going to be an awesome afternoon. Tickets at trybooking, as Michael said. So we'd love to see you there. It's going to be fun.
We're going to hit the road. We are Junk Time Over Pod at Gmail, Twitter, Facebook, and the Gram. Go Hawks.
The footy season doesn't end. That's fucking unbelievable.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.